Thank you very much. Praise God. Good morning and happy Father's Day to all the men. This morning, I want to talk about fatherhood and also I want us to celebrate our Heavenly Father. You know, some of us had really good dads in our experience. Some of us did not. Some of us didn't even know our dads, as in we didn't have the opportunity to get to know them. Some people never met their dads. Some people, the word father creates an indescribable lovely feeling within them because of their experience of fatherhood. Some people, the word father creates an indescribable problem. The word is just a problem to them. And I was such a person, the word father was a problem for me. And it wasn't because I didn't have a father. I had one, but I met him when I was 6 years old. And I remember asking my cousin, "Is that my dad?" And he said, "Yes." But the absurdity of a six-year-old boy asking his cousin, "Is that my dad?" The absurdity of it grew in me as I grew up until it became like a bomb that exploded sometime around my late 20s, 30s, and 40s. It was like an explosion that swallowed up almost two decades. But so that word father and the experience of fatherhood creates different things for different people. And some people come to God and it's still a problem. I came to the Lord when I was 20. And at that age, I hadn't even the foggiest idea how huge a problem this was to me. You know, I knew my dad, but I didn't live with him. I had a relationship with him, but not as much as I wanted. But it wasn't a problem. And that's because of the nature of human beings. You know, we are this multi-layered souls that we don't know what's going on deep in there, even though it's affecting how we behave and so on. But after a while, it begins to manifest, and God in His mercy begins to show us what the problem is, what is missing, or what is broken, and so on. You know, but some people had lovely fathers, and some fathers did the job of showing their children something of what Heavenly Father is, which is what God's purpose for fatherhood is.
His father.
Because He's the Father of all spirits, according to the scripture. All souls are mine, says the Lord, He said through Ezekiel. So, He is the Father of everybody, but He gives men this opportunity to demonstrate to their children what something of His love. He gifts something of it to men. But some men, maybe most men, are far too broken to receive it and pass it on to their children. And so this morning, on Father's Day, some people will be celebrating fatherhood. For some people, it's simply problematic because they don't want to think about it. But I discovered that Father in heaven, He wants to go there. He wants to go to that place because He's not a distant father. On the contrary, He's a father whose heart yearns in a way that you cannot imagine. His heart yearns for every single human being. His heart yearns so much that Jesus said in Hebrews that sacrifices and offerings were not sufficient, did not please you. And so a body you prepared for me. And as it is written of me in the volume of the books, I come, O God, to do your will. So the sacrifices and offerings that God prescribed in the Old Testament, he knew they were not going to cut the mustard. They were not going to do the deal. But they were to point to what he knew he had to do to get his children back. And Jesus, as the Son, his heart yearned for his Father and also for his creation. And his heart yearned for us to come back or to come into that experience that he had with the Father. He didn't want to simply enjoy God on his own. He wanted each one of us to come into that fellowship, which is why, as we come in, the Bible again says in Hebrews that he is not ashamed to call us brethren, even with all our mess.
Behind the bed.
Because Jesus and Father, they both have yearning hearts. There's another category of people that have a problem with the word father, and that is fathers that feel like they failed their children. But I discovered that Heavenly Father, his heart yearns for the failed children to heal them, and for the failing fathers to heal them also. I was shocked to find out, you know, so there was a time in my life when, because I was so much into the Bible, I kind of had my knowledge of God kind of signed, sealed, and delivered. And the Lord wanted to bust that wide open. And so I began to come across these testimonies on YouTube, one after the other, shocking testimonies of compassion and mercy. You know, and I would listen to them trying to find, was it really God? Was it really God? And I would come to the conclusion that was really God. Goodness me. You mean he would go that far? You mean after people have done this and that and the other, he would still pursue them? He would still go after them? One of the most shocking testimonies I've ever heard was of a girl. You know, because some people have experienced absent fathers. Some people have experienced partially absent fathers or neglectful fathers, but they know their fathers. Some people have experienced abusive fathers, emotionally abusive fathers, fathers who did not, affirm them, who did not say they love them, who only expected them to kind of, a bit like a racehorse rider, constantly flogging them to perform. That's some people's experience of their fathers. Some people's experience of their father was simply cold and distant, and he just went to work and provided money. Some people's experience was a father who was drunk, and therefore, because of his drinking problem, you know, there was no money in the household, and they were in poverty unnecessarily. Some people's experience of their fathers was a very religious person who was trying to please God and represented God in a thoroughly bad way that put the children of God themselves. And you know, all they knew was that he wanted them to go to church, wanted them to be like this. He kind of put them in straight jackets. But I think the worst kind of experience is when a boy or a girl is sexually abused by their father. I think that's probably one of the worst kinds of abuse that a person can experience. And this testimony, this father not only sexually abused his daughter, he also passed her around. And he had people come and sexually abuse his own daughter. And she got pregnant in multiple times. And then, of course, because of the demons that entered her life as a result of that, she went from one successive abusive relationship to another, and ended up in prostitution, and had a child. And there was one part of it where she looked up to God and thought, "Is this all you have for me?" But one day the Lord reached out to her and saved her radically, radically. And she discovered the love of her Heavenly Father. And her Heavenly Father began to heal her heart. He healed her heart so much that she forgave her father. She went to see her father. He was sick and on his deathbed. He was in tears asking her for forgiveness. She was saying, "I've already forgiven you. I love you, Dad." Can you imagine that? That she could even relate to him as Dad again. And then he gave his life to Christ and is now in heaven. This is the Father we have. This is who God is. I discovered that when he said, "Do not be deceived, God is not mocked, neither shall adulterers and fornicators and the effeminate and the cowards and all liars inherit the kingdom of God." I discovered that even though he said so, and even though that is true, very true, and it is true, those people will not inherit the kingdom of God. He doesn't sit there like this and then just wait and see, "Let's see who's going to make it." That's not his attitude, actually. Actually, because of that, he especially goes after the effeminate, the adulterers, the fornicators, the liars. He goes after them because the reason he actually said that is because it's a warning. Don't let it happen. His attitude is, this must not happen. And so he goes after them. He sends people after them. You will find testimonies of people who have been in all sorts of perversion, having the most radical experience with Jesus, and then being drawn into the love of the Father. So far, far from being a vindictive father who is waiting to pour out his wrath on sinners, far from that, he goes after them. He sends his son, his only son, after every one of us, but especially the more perverse they are, the more he goes after them. He's not full of hatred for the perverse, is full of love, because they also are his children. Very, very marred, but he still sees them as his children, whom, if I can only have them back, I can fix all of this. That's who he is. That's who he is. It is just as true that the perverted will not inherit the kingdom of God. It is just as true that he loves the perverted, and for that very reason goes after them in a special way.
He does pursue. Definitely pursued me when I was
I didn't know how I was going to do this morning, so I just booked Mark. I just searched the word Father in the New Testament, limited my search to the New Testament, booked Mark, I don't know, maybe 25 scriptures, because I didn't know how he was going to do this. I just knew that he wanted me to talk about him as father. And here's the strangest thing. Some years ago, I would be the most ill-equipped to talk about him. I could talk about Jesus. Right from the day I got saved, I could talk about Jesus. I met Jesus. I saw him face to face on the day I got saved. Father, I did not know. Father, I was suspicious of for many years. I just thought, I saw Jesus as shielding me from the wrath of the Father. I saw Jesus as my ally, you know, the one who is making sure that I'm all right to present to the Father. It is true, but the truth also is, it's the Father that asked him to do it. You know, one of the shocking discoveries I made was Jesus was like the Father. Sorry. So the first discovery was Father was like Jesus. I thought, I kid you not. In my heart, I had to go through scriptures that I knew when that thought came in. And then I came to the conclusion theologically, yes. If Jesus is the express image of the Father, and the Father is like him, then he corrected me and said, actually, Jesus is like me. You know, and so as part of my journey in discovering the Father, because I had come to know Jesus as the lover of my soul, I'd come to love him, I'd come to see him as my friend, and that he died for me, and all of that. But my suspicions of Father, and that if he gets his hands on me, it's not going to be funny, and Jesus is protecting me from him. All of those suspicions began to vanish when I began to realize, hang on, Jesus is actually like him. He is the one that Jesus is like. That means everything that Jesus is, I mean, that blew my mind. It really did. But my journey in discovering the Father began one day when I haven't even looked at any of the scriptures. Began one day when I became aware, I think this was 2014, as recent as that, I became aware that my problem was that I was an orphan. So in spite of knowing my dad, my physical dad, who by that time had was now in heaven, you know, he was saved on his deathbed. He was a good man who was very broken. I came to understand him much better. And that brokenness made the things that happened in his life happen, unfortunately. And broken people hurt people, is the truth. Hurt people hurt people. So so I discovered around 2014 that my problem was that I was an orphan in my heart, even though I knew my physical dad, and even though I knew theoretically that the Heavenly Father was my father, in my heart, I was an orphan. I was afflicted by an orphan spirit. I didn't know that term at the time, but I just felt like my problem was I was an orphan because I didn't have a relationship with a father, never developed a relationship with a father. And here was I was already a father of three, and I was just kind of bungling it as I went and didn't have a template, really. And so one day I came back from work, then I began to yearn to know him. And one day that was on my heart, all the way from Leeds to near Cockermouth in Cumbria, where we lived. I was just thinking about it and talking to him intermittently. Finally, I got home and broke down. I just wept on the steering wheel. And all I could say is, I need to know you. My heart needs to know that you're my father. Not just here, not just from scripture. I need to know you as my father the way I would have known my dad if I had a relationship with him. And nothing spectacular happened. But the journey began when I saw something right there in the car. And what I saw was, I saw Jesus's outstretched hand bound to the wood and the nail, and this Roman hand with a brass, I don't know what you call it, on his arm with a nail and a hammer in the other hand. And I saw God's hand on. I saw the Father's hand on the Roman soldier's hand, pounding the nail. Pounding the nail into his own son's wrist. And as often happens with me, whenever I see anything or hear anything prophetically, my heart is always going through scriptures. Is that really true? Is that what scripture backs that up? And it was that verse in Isaiah 53. It pleased him to crush him. It pleased the Father to crush his son. And I realized it's true. And I realized that when he told Isaac to sacrifice his son, basically what Abraham was about to do is exactly what happened on Calvary. The Father sacrificed his son. I doubted the Father's love for me, but I knew he loved Jesus. And what he was telling me was, I took my son, my only son, whom I loved, I sacrificed him to get you back. And that started the journey for me. And now, honestly, I rest in him. My heart rests in him. The other thing is, I don't have any full siblings. I only have half siblings because my father had three marriages, one after the other. And my second sister, she, thank you. My second sister, she and her younger brothers, they really suffered a lot more neglect than I did from my father, in a different way than I did. But she fell in love with her Heavenly Father radically. Oh my goodness. I've read about so many people who loved Father God. I don't know of, and I've never read of any human being who loves the Heavenly Father like my sister did. And she loved her Heavenly Father through some of the most painful experiences, including cancer. You know, she eventually succumbed to cancer and died in 2019. But she worshipped him all the way through. She was just radically in love with her father. And that, again, just seeing that, and we were very close, just seeing that, he used it to kind of get my heart more aligned to him, drew my heart more to him, so much so that after she died, I said to him, I want that same kind of love for you. But I guess this morning is just basically to say, if you've had a bad experience with regards to fatherhood, your father, or if you feel that in any way you failed your children, Heavenly Father, in all of His majesty and all of His limitless power, He is able to fix it completely and heal completely and restore relationships completely. He's able to. He's done it time and time and time again.
Do you have any pain?
There's only one thing He needs, and that is.
I don't know where the sign is.
He needs us to cooperate and come.
I don't know what it is.
If we keep running away when He's drawing us, then we won't experience it. We'll be lost in what we feel and what we're experiencing. We can build a cage of what we have experienced and what we have felt in spite of the heat of His love outside. And we can keep Him out like many people do.
Your sinuses and
if we will let Him in, if we will respond to His moves, you know, the prodigal son, we know the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son said effectively to his father, you're not dying quick enough. I want my stuff. Give me my stuff now. I can't wait till you die. Give me my stuff now. And he didn't argue. The father didn't argue with him. He gave it to him because they were his inheritance. And this is how our Heavenly Father is as well. He gave it to him and he went away and blew the whole thing. When he began to suffer, he then thought to himself, even my father's servants have a better life than I do in this place. So I will go back and say to him, I have failed you. I have blown it. And I've lost my place as your son. But have me back as your servant. That was his plan. On his way back, he was just within the moment he was recognizable, which means the father had been going out looking for him to come back. So the father had been making that move. And in that parable, it's a very good parable, but the subtext is the Holy Spirit is the one who put the thought in the boy's heart to go back. The thought the Holy Spirit put in him was to go back. He could not wrap his mind around it. But he thought, but if I go back and say, let me be your servant, that should be okay. That might be okay. He could not bring himself to believe that his father was just going to sweep aside all he'd done and bring him back and he'll be a son again. He could not see that happening. So even though the Holy Spirit planted the thought in his heart, in his mind, he constructed a narrative that he was able to believe, which is, if I say, hire me as your servant, then perhaps. But on the basis of that, he responded to the Father's drawing him through the Holy Spirit and began on the journey back. But the Father, in his eagerness and joy, the joy that his son, any time you think you've blown it,
you must know
that your Heavenly Father just wants you to turn back. I don't believe that when he went looking for Adam, that
as a temporary residence,
he was completely ignorant of what Adam had done. But he said, where are you? Because Adam was hiding. He wasn't at the normal meeting place. He was hiding. Where are you, Adam? You know? And that's what he says to every one of us when we hide from him. When we feel we're not good enough or we get so full of our failures. We can get so full of our failures, and that can keep us from him. Whereas he knows we can do nothing without him. Absolutely nothing. Jesus told us, we just don't believe it. So we go and try it on our own and then blow it. And then when we blow it, we feel guilty and can't go back. But he always knew that we can't do nothing without him. And being attached to Jesus is our full-time occupation. It's that's because that's all we can really do, abide in him. If we abide in him, then we will produce the fruit, his fruit. But we've got to abide in him. So when we blow it, because we will, because a lot of the time we don't learn the lesson that we can't do it without him. When we blow it, we must not waste any time staying where we are. We must return to Jesus and return to Father. And so, when the Father saw his Son from afar, he did not wait for him to get home. As soon as the boy was recognizable to the Father, imagine, the Father ran. He didn't walk with him. He didn't think, if I go running. Do you know, some of us parents would actually think, if I go running to him, you know, he needs to learn his lesson. You know, some of us would think that we're spoiling him. We need to really, you know, let him get the full weight of what he's done. And so we would wait, and when he knocks on the door, you're back, you know, that sort of a thing. Or what are you looking for? You know, a bit like Joseph and his brothers. But Father is not like that. Father can't contain his love for us, his yearning heart for his children. He can't contain it. He doesn't try to. He ran. That's the perfect picture of the Heavenly Father. He ran. We must remember that. We must remember that. Otherwise, the truths in Scripture could give us the impression, because whilst those truths are true, that's not all the truth. Like the example of the Scripture I quoted about those who will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the thing that other Scriptures tell us is that because of that very reason, God goes after those people. He just doesn't leave them. He just doesn't fold his arms waiting for when he can bring his vengeance upon their wickedness. That's not what he's doing at all. He's doing his very best to try and save them. You would think after sending his son to die that he had the right to simply just sit down and wait. Whoever accepts, good. Good for them. Whoever doesn't, you're in trouble. That's certainly how I would be. But no, he doesn't do that. Even to those of us who accept and then behave like we didn't, you know, commit all kinds of idolatry, putting all kinds of things and people before Jesus, he keeps on wooing our hearts because he doesn't want to have to say to us, I never knew you. You know, the teaching of the parable of the 10 virgins, it is because Jesus does not want to say to anybody, I never knew you. That's why he told the parable. He does not want to have to say that. The reason he said, many will come to me and say, I did this, I did this, I did this, and I will say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. It's the reason he said it, I came to realize, is because he does not want to do that. He wants to minimize the people to whom he would have to do that. That's actually his nature. That's the nature of the Father. He gives these warnings so the thing does not have to happen. It's not that he gives the warning and then he's waiting. Okay, let's see. Right, you're in trouble. No, he's not like that. He's not like that at all. So, I'd like us to pray and Just reflect on these things and think about our relationship with the Heavenly Father. No matter what relationship we had, like Winsome kindly, expertly, completely summarized what the message I came to bring. Summarized in two sentences what took me how long to say. Regardless of what our relationship with our Heavenly Father was, with our earthly Father was, even regardless of what our relationship with our Heavenly Father has been, we must know, He wants us to know, that this is who He is. He is our Father. And He yearns for us. I've seen I saw a I don't know what it's not a picture. You know how you can have a dream and Jesus appears to you as a friend you know. He actually looks like someone you know in that dream, but you know in that dream is Jesus. I saw the Father like that once many years ago, long before 2014. Maybe not so long, maybe a year or two before that, He was trying to draw me in. But in this dream, I was in heaven. I was in a large room, and there was mist on the floor. I couldn't see anybody's feet. And there were people from everywhere in the world in that room. It was a huge, vast room. And we were all waiting with excitement, waiting for God to come in. And we knew that that God was coming in. And I knew in the dream, wow, this is heaven. This is heaven. This great hall is... There was nothing remarkable about the walls or the place, because I think the point of the dream was not where I was. But, and He suddenly walked in. This man walked in. He wasn't too tall. He wasn't even as tall as me, really. This man walked in, had my skin color. He was dressed in our what we call agbada, the Yoruba gown. And He had this thing that kings have in their hands, like something made from the tail of a horse. Had it in one hand and had the typical kingly hat on his head. And just walked in with this big, broad smile. And he all he said was, "My children." And I could see this love for everybody. And in my heart, I was going, "That's God. Is that God? The Father? Really? What?" I mean, that was all the dream. But now it makes sense, because all He was trying to communicate to me in that dream, that was all the dream. I was in this room with all these people. All He was trying to communicate is His love for us. And how His heart yearns to embrace us all, to have us all with Him. So regardless of what your experience with Him has been, what your experience with your Heavenly Father has been, what your experience as a father has been for us men or any other man listening, regardless of that, there is an opportunity to get closer to the Heavenly Father. For Him to heal the wounds in our hearts. There are certain wounds that Jesus cannot heal, the Holy Spirit cannot heal, only Father can heal them. A person who cannot bring themselves to depend on God is living like an orphan, because that person is unable to trust the Heavenly Father completely. That's the message in Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus was speaking about seeking first the kingdom. He said, "Don't you know that your Heavenly Father will provide these things?" And then He said to them that these are the things that the heathen seek after. So the contrast is, your Heavenly Father knows that you need these things. The heathen don't have a relationship with your Heavenly Father, so they feel they've got to get these things themselves. And so knowing Him creates a sense of total dependence on Him within us. So if that is something that you struggle with, then you need to say to Him, Father, I need you to take me to that place in you where I can totally rest in you and be completely dependent on you. So let's pray. Let's take a moment to think about that word, Father. Does it bring joy? Does it bring rest to your soul? Or does it bring a flux? If it brings a flux, just turn to your Heavenly Father and say to Him, if you know what the problem is, tell Him what the problem is. If you don't know what the problem is, just tell Him, I'm not totally at rest with the idea of Father. I'm not totally at peace. I don't have joy with the idea of Father. Please draw me into yourself. I need you. I need you, Father. I need to experience you. I need your healing. I need to live in your heart. There was a time the Lord gave me this phrase, that I need to take my place in His life. Wow. Can you just imagine that? I had a place waiting for me in my Father's life, and He wanted me to take my place.
Sorry.
So if you haven't, take your place in your Father's life. There's a place for you in His life. The other thing was, Jesus said, no one has seen the Father before at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. He has made Him known. At that time, Jesus was physically on the earth talking to people. No one has seen the Father at any time. Only the begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father. Right there, as He was physically on earth, He was relaxed in His Father's bosom. And this is exactly what the Father desires for each and every one of us.
Yeah.
So if you're not there, ask Him, Father, I want to live in your embrace. I want to live in your embrace. I want to be aware of your embrace. I want to be in your tight embrace. I need it. If you don't have a feeling that you need it, and it's just an intellectual acknowledgement that you need it, ask Him to help you to realize emotionally, because it is important that you need His embrace. Father, today is Father's Day, and I just celebrate you. I worship you. I thank you for the person that you are, the Father that you are. I delight in you, Father. I thank you for wanting me in your life. Thank you for making room in me for me. Thank you for sending Jesus to go and get me. Thank you for sending your Spirit to live in me, and to change me, and to carry on the process of bringing me to you. Thank you, Father. I love you. There's no one like you. Lord, I pray that everyone here will experience you as Father. Experience your love. Experience your healing. Experience your protection, your covering, that everybody will come to live in your embrace. that everybody will lean back into you and know that you're there. Lord, I pray that all of your children will come to know you as Father. Lord Jesus, you are the one who reveals the Father. You know how much we need him. We don't know how much we need him. Lord, I pray that you will show every one of us how much we need him. And as we realize our need for him, I pray that you take us to him. I pray for all your children, Father, that have a blockage in their relationship between you and them, where there's a wall between you and them. Lord, I pray that you find a way to demolish the wall. I stand in the gap and I ask for a demolition of every wall that stands between you and all of your children who are in Christ. Furthermore, I ask for the demolition of the walls that stand between you and all your other children who have not yet come to Christ. In Jesus' name I ask for it and I receive it now. Thank you, Lord. Just one more thing. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, Paul said, "Because I have heard of your faith, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom all families, every family in heaven and on earth, receives its name." And that name is identity and purpose. Every person receives their identity and purpose from the Father. If you're not sure what yours is, run into your Father. Run into your Father, and he will show you. There's no security outside of knowing who you are to him. That's when you really begin to become secure. That's when you really know who you are and what your life is about. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. Happy Father's Day.